Good morning. Jesus. Whoa. There was this, I was in this conference, see, a couple of months ago. I think it was just after I got back from Brazil, seems like. And I was praying in the prayer line, like last night, there was around 1,000 folks to pray for, and I was busy in Jesus' name. There were so many needs, so many people are hurting, and lights came on like that. Then I stopped, because you saw it got my attention there. Now I'm more alert when lights come on. Because I turned around, and there was these four dudes standing there. Angels. And I was impressed. I was really impressed. I couldn't. I'd never seen angels. I've only been fortunate to see my enemy quite a few times. Demons manifested in all kind of forms. And it was my first time, and I turned and looked at my wife. I said, check them dudes out, man. She's looking around. She can't see them. I thought everybody could see them. The light was several. Yeah, I had to add more lights to get actually how bright they were. And they were just sitting there with their arms folded watching us. They was observing what was going on. I was so taken back by it, it took me a few minutes to recover. I don't think I've ever recovered, actually, the whole way. But that was pretty interesting. That's why you saw me jump when the lights come on. Oh, I'm so glad y'all can see the lights. Because it's really something when other people don't get to. And you do. You just can't understand what's wrong with them. More likely, it's nothing wrong with them. Y'all all right today? I am really blessed. My kids are at the house doing school. My oldest daughter's teaching because my wife's not there, and I'm the principal, and I'm not there. So anyway, they're sitting in there doing lots of school, and they're going to do a couple of days' worth today, and because we missed a day along here and there. Have to do that, you know. So that's where they are, if you're wondering. If you're not, it don't matter. Ain't none of your business anyway, so. Holy Ghost, I didn't ask, you didn't tell me where your kids were, so. Holy Ghost. You know, it's a blessing I'm not mad. I used to be. Didn't I, Mrs. Hogan? I was mad. Holy Ghost got me over that. It ain't nothing like what 3 years in the jungle can do for you. It'll deliver you from madness. Jesus. I got so angry at y'all at one stage in my life that I actually didn't care if y'all went to hell. But then God started moving so much in our work and it got so much bigger than me. And I needed so much help that I didn't have any other source to draw from but America. So I had to come back. But I was sitting on, here's what it was. One night I was hiking home in this genuine monsoon rainstorm. I mean, it was so thick. Flashlight was a hazard. Had to hike just slowly. And it got so rough and my little tennis shoes was tore up, and I was so lonely out there on that mountain. I sit down on the side of the mountain, didn't have no raincoat, couldn't buy one, nothing. I was laying down, and the rain was just beating me. I said, look, Holy Ghost, we got to come to some conclusion here. I said, this work is too big. You're wanting and expecting and demanding too much out of me. I can't do this. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and you're going to give me the ability of Jesus to destroy the works of the devil. That's what you're going to do. And what I'm going to do is submit. Whatever it takes. Out of me, anything that shouldn't be in me. In me, things I don't think I need that you think I do. But whatever it takes, and I want this anger for America off me because I really have something to say. But I want to be able to talk straight and blunt and truthful, but without you feeling anger and bitterness. How about that? I want you to feel the truth so it can slice and dice you and set you free. All right? But I don't want you to feel like that I personally have a vendetta against you, because I don't. I don't care, actually. Honestly, I don't care. But I do care about my Indians and helping them. So I have to live with living with you. And you have to live with living with me. But you can take it or leave it more than I can. I have a mandate. I can't back away, and you can still. But the day's coming you won't be able to. Because see, let me just say that I recognize that there's probably going to be lots of leaders in here and elders and so forth and pastors. I want to tell y'all something. I advise you to light up and take the heat and lose the people and lose whatever you have to lose to burn. That's advice. Because in a minute, the situation, world, global situation is going to change. And let me tell you who people are going to run to. That's not somebody where they go and they get told what they want to hear and they get what they want. They're going to go somewhere where they can get something that will help them survive. So my advice right now to you is burn. And keep on burning and don't worry about the results. Let God tally. Let God worry about it. Jesus. That's just advice. That's just my opinion. Holy Ghost. So I was in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago. I was sitting there and I was at a Maori marae. It's a place of worship. It's one of their temples. God's blessed me. I'm working with them now. There's quite a few of their elders coming over to our work in next March. And I was sitting in there. And there was this lady that I didn't know her. I don't know her, but she comes from the woods, from somewhere out in the woods. And she was in there and just standing in line. We was praying for people. And I got up to her and there was no emotions. Lots of people are that way and for various reasons. And I prayed for her and she just fell down. And when she got up, what was wrong with her was that she had been somewhere around 25 years totally deaf and God opened her ears. Yeah, that's good. See, there's something here. Look, I'm going to read out of this Amplified again today. Look in Luke 12, please. I want to share something with you this is a daytime thing. This, the less people I can share with you a little bit more stuff that I want to. I can talk to you a little bit more calmly. But I don't think I will. I'll get stirred up directly. And we'll go for it. Jesus. So I enjoy, you ever wondered where tumors go when they disappear? I look and look and look for those things and you just can't find them. They're a mass and they just go away But sometimes they fall on the floor, and they're just sitting there dying, and it's wonderful to laugh at them. But I just wonder about that. Y'all ever wonder about that? There's probably lots of things I wonder about that you don't care about. Jesus. Luke 12, verse 49, it's in Amplified. It says it like this. I have come to cast fire. Now this here is Jesus talking. Do you know there's four different kinds of fire? And we don't want God's judgment fire. We don't want strange fire. We want Jesus' holy fire. That's more advice to you. Don't hang out till you get under the umbrella of the judgment fire. Hang out right now while fire is being given out in bucketfuls by the Holy Ghost all over the planet. Y'all have had the great opportunity to be in the greatest revivals in our generation. I've been over in Toronto, over in Pensacola, over in England, down in South in Australia. There's some great movement, great fire happening. Great revivals are taking place. Great things. God's shaking and rattling and moving His church and getting it ready. Because He's mobilizing His army. That's what's going on. And that's what we've got to have, right? But see, Jesus has come to cast fire on the earth. And in the Amplified, it says a little different than the King James. It says, how I wish that it were already kindled. Do you see, I mean, can't you, we got to see that it is the desire of heaven for His holy fire to be burning on the planet. The holy fire of God. It is God's desire. I was in a conference a while back, and they brought up this lady, and she was a grandma. And her son, big boy, big man, was standing behind her. And I come right off that platform and went right to her. Because she was a, you know, grandmas do just about what they want to. You know? And that must be nice. Finally got to where they're not intimidated, they're not influenced. They just do what's right. They just do what they want to. I really like that freedom, boy. So she walks up there, and I just was looking at her. Well, I was just finishing up, and she just walked up there and stood up there, and she's just staring at me. And I don't know what's wrong with her. I know that it got her up and out of that chair and up front. I knew that. And so things started moving on the platform, so I got down. I went straight down there. I laid my hands right square on top of her head, and my mean God blasted her. Well, because Grandma had the courage to come up, 500-600 other people did. And so I prayed off to the left, got in the second line, was praying back to the thing. Well, by the time I got back over there, Grandma was standing back up. So I thought it was nice to touch Grandma again. Jesus! Whoa! She got blasted. But this time her son fell. Both of them fell down. Boom, boom. I thought that was nice. So I went on down, prayed back, and I went back to the front again, come back, and when I got there, Grandma was standing up wobbling. I said, gotcha. Bang! Prayed for her, she went flying. Oh, so happy about that. Prayed on. Next thing I know, Grandma starts hooting over there. Y'all know what that means, hooting? Grandma's hoot. She was hooting. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. So, and when I hear Grandma's hooting, I enjoy it. I go over there and talk to them, find out what's going on. I got over there to find out that Grandma had been blind for 19 years, and the Holy Ghost gave her sight. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus. It's all right with me if y'all get all stressed out at me because I don't do things like you think they ought to be done. It's true. I'm happy with that, actually. It doesn't bother me. I'm still happy, fella. But you know what? It is not in the way you perform. It's in the way God performs through you. Did you know that? Jesus. So you have to submit to heaven, but heaven don't have to do anything. Heaven moves on us because heaven is gracious. Because mercy abounds from the Holy Ghost. Because His mercy endureth forever. His grace is a phenomenal thing to walk in and talk. See, we got to call down the fire of Jesus. And we got to be willing to put up with what it costs us. In our work, when the Shekinah glory overran us, and I mean deluged us, I mean swamped us, I mean turned our little boat over and just broke it all to pieces. And then He put us in another boat, but it's not the same kind of a boat. It's almost like if we got to do it His way or we will be abandoned. See, you think you have all this will and all this stuff. And in the beginning, I guess I can see that you might have that. But once you submit to the Holy Ghost and the great gifts and callings of God are on you, you are without excuse. How about that? Not very many people like to hear that kind of preaching because they like to do what they want to do. But the Holy Ghost don't want you doing what you want to do. The Holy Ghost wants you moving in the fire of God. He wants you blowing in the wind of heaven. He wants you flowing in the river of God. That's what He wants. Jesus. 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 So I'm going to share a story with you that irritated me when it happened. So I'm usually the first one in line to be excited about what God wants to do. And so I don't have trouble with Him doing what He wants to do because He's the King. I mean, what can you say to a king? Nothing. But when He... I think they're messing with me now. See, you let out the slightest. Enjoy yourselves, fellas. Because my buddy plays back. Jesus. But see, I've got this long letter one time from this lady that's an intercessor and prophetess that God really touched her life. And I was in the service. I didn't have any idea she was there. And she's pretty well known. And the Holy Ghost gave her an open-eyed vision of what was going on in the spirit world while we were ministering. And there were these two angels. They were big boys standing on either side. And they had these different weapons on them. And they had these fire balls that God's got. Y'all don't know that term, but I'm telling you about it. I know about it because I can go down in the basket and get them and get it in my hand and throw it. That's what I call it. You can call it. Y'all probably have a fancy name for it. This guy here runs a school. He can tell them probably what it is. Jesus. But see, when you throw energy of heaven around, it's a serious thing. And these guys were busy. And what was going on, there was quite a move of God, and God was shooting these people with the Holy Ghost and the fire of heaven. And it was just spontaneous out in the crowd, and It was just, I was laughing so hard watching people fly from it. I didn't see visually a thing, but I knew what they were doing. Because God enjoys playing and having a good time. He's not some mean religious demon standing there with a bat. God is a father. And He loves us. And He likes to take care of us. And I seem probably too relaxed for y'all. But none of this stuff is my fault. It's just not. The fire of God is Jesus' wish. He wants it to happen. And if we can just understand that, it'll just flow on you. And heaven will bring in new converts. They'll be bathed in fire. See, let me just say this. I have written a couple of really important phrases over here on my pads. And one of them is, when you've been birthed in fire, smoke will never do. Brother Leonard Ravenhill. And I believe that. Jesus. So I guard myself and protect myself and my family to keep us in the holy fire of heaven. Now, let me just say that as you're going down through life and God's power is running through you and miracles are abounding, you kind of get an idea that how God wants to run the thing. We call it doctrine. Well, did you know that God don't think like us? Did you know that I had to come to grips with the fact that my doctrine was wrong a couple of times? I found that hard to believe. I am such a perfect individual. That's the first and biggest mistake. But look, we're going along here, and I've only met one other person that's been over 100 in dead raising. That was Brother T.L. Osborne. And so we figured, we got over 100 people raised from the dead. We kind of got an idea out of that many that we kind of got it sorted out as to how God might want to do it. Jesus. Jesus. Would you look over here at Matthew? Capítulo 1, por favor, y verso 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now I have to tell you that y'all are used to this passage coming out about 2 weeks before Christmas in December. But I don't agree with the way y'all are merchandised and marketed. And how that the demon world has taken God's days and changed them into $1 million and billions of dollars, and you just flow along with them like they're right and they're from hell. So we're going to talk about this, even though this is August. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Could I just say that whatever God does for one child, He will do for the others? And if you've got God moving for you here, and you think that your way of life is correct, why doesn't it work where I live? Boy, y'all got real quiet, didn't you? Because you hadn't thought of that. That's why you got quiet. Did you know that the fire of God where we are and the power of God where we are works around the world? Does your lifestyle work around the world? See? You need to think about what you're doing and how you're being abused by the devil. Because freedom, your freedom is necessary for God's movement. Jesus. Jesus. Because look, God's wanting to move. But some of the things that we think are right sometimes could be wrong. And we need to be willing to open ourselves to Him to move stuff that may want to, in a minute, block what He's doing. All right? So, all this is advice. All this stuff I'm telling you. Because you want to stay limited, knock yourself out. Because I found that Americans are some of the hardest to reach when it comes to once you've decided something is right. And that's a very good trait unless it's against the truth. To be stubborn and forceful is great. It really is. I am that. But once I've decided something's right and I'm willing to die for it, but it's wrong, how in the world are you going to fix it? So, God's given me an attribute. He's added on something. He's tagged something onto me now, finally. I finally got it. If you come at me scripturally and sit me down and talk to me scripturally, it proved to me that what we're doing is incorrect. Starting right there, we won't do it anymore. And it don't matter what its name is. How about that? That's a blessing. I wasn't always like that. Jesus. So what the Holy Ghost did, here's what happened. We're constantly, I call our work a machine. I call it work. Y'all call it different things, you know. But we just call ours a work. Work of God. And we have to stay ahead of the machine. It's so large now, it'll eat you up. It moves at such a pace, you have to hustle to stay ahead of it or it'll eat you. Then I've learned how to, over the years, stay ahead and watch over it and protect it and bless it and keep it oiled and running. And so, here we are. I'm constantly pushing, leading, driving to get new churches started. That's what I do for a living, pioneer work. In areas that have never had the gospel, I just am possessed. Our terminology of possessed, not yours. Because you believe if they steal your parking lot at Walmart, your parking spot, well, that's devil. See, so I don't believe because somebody took my parking spot, they possessed by the devil. Jesus. Y'all use it too loosely. But I personally am possessed with the Holy Ghost impregnation to get these people saved, man. It just drives me. Wow! Things you feel when you come see us, the bumps for 6 or 7 hours to service, my truck is like a washing machine. And then sitting in the heat for 2 or 3 hours, waiting on the devil. And then the food situation. And then the intensity of the protocol. Ooh, everything is just difficult for you. I never even know that happens. Isn't that amazing? To me, when somebody's raised from the dead, now we got something going. to me, when people are getting born again, that's when action started. This flesh hurting part, I don't recognize. I don't understand it. It don't register, because the people are important. I'm there for the people. I'm not there for my personal comfort. Hello. Jesus. Well, we've heard that you go out of your way to make things difficult. I don't have to. The mountain does that for me. I don't have to go out of my way. That mountain talks its own language. I've learned how to submit to that thing and stay alive. Isn't that something? So we was out doing this, what we call... See, our strategy is simple. You get these hubs. We call them church hubs. They're these... You can see it easily where God opens up, starts working in a village, and it's going to become a hub church, where that means where all the grease and oil and and you got all these spokes 360 degrees out for 4 or 5 hours around, and they're all missions all around. You understand? And then they all connect. All these large wheels connect, and now they've turned into sections, we call them. And so, but every one of these has a huge hub in it, and we're constantly opening up new missions out of these hubs, mission churches. And so we was out there one day and got this thing going, and the Holy Ghost was with us. And we was doing our work and like we do it. And there was these two fellas sitting in the church. And I'd never seen them before. But they were sick. You could just tell they were just sick. So we prayed for them. Nothing happened that you could see at the moment. Most of the miracles we get are a day or two or three down the line. Well, most of them are. But the healings are miracles, healing miracles, all kind of definitions of that stuff. And so we was there in that... I asked them guys, who is he? Who are these guys? Oh, Brother David. Those guys are trouble. We wouldn't even suggest you praying for them. I looked at them. I said, they're just sick idiots. No, that's not who they are. Their daddy. Because see, whether you like it or not, you are who your parents are. Jesus. See, where I live, the family unit's still intact, seriously. One person runs the entire family group, and it could be 200-300 people. I mean, it's still intact. I mean, it's solid. And I've set up my family like that because it's right. And so, American idea is wrong. 17, throw them out the door. Make it on your own. I love you. I'll see you in a few days. God bless you. Here's some money. Lord Jesus. Jesus. What a devil. That is not scriptural at all. Holy Ghost. No wonder we're having trouble. Keep the unit intact. Let it multiply. Keep it intact. Holy Ghost. Now, we'll get off the family and back onto this story. Problem was, this fellow was a very powerful black magic warlock. He was the most revered, feared individual in the whole part of the state there. Could not read, could not write, but could speak to you and you're dead in the morning. Whew. I said to them, well, if he's so powerful, why are these boys here? Well, they were men, actually, they were men. They said, well, here's the story, Brother David. This guy has hated us for a long time. He's been fighting us. He's been cursing us. And we've had lots of trouble out of this guy, but now both his boys are sick, and he can't heal them. Now, we got to have a difference of opinion, because you don't believe that they can heal anyway. But you are wrong. They can heal. It's a type of healing, actually, where they lift and move spirits around and stuff like that. Because it will eventually come back, but it takes a minute. So it appears that they've been healed. And people are lifted. Now, because these two boys couldn't get healed, they came to one of our services, and because of who they were, we made them get born again. Because your choices are simple. Die. Just die. Go back to your daddy. Die. Go to hell. That's your choice. Or bow to Jesus. He's going to heal you, and you get to go to heaven. But because you're going to get born again, when you go home, you have hell right now. But it's a short amount of time. Oh, yeah. Jesus. So they got born again. We prayed for them. Nothing happened. They left. By the time they got home, both of them were healed. Going through the jungle. Yeah. Several hours down through there, they got healed. All right. That's wonderful. But, Daddy, who understands the spirit world much better than you do, he outguns you. He has bigger depth and perception in the spirit than you do. He knew it when them boys got born again. He was waiting on them when they got home. How about that? You got to understand that I'm not playing up or giving credit to the demon. I'm telling you how life is in the woods where I live. Because he's a loser. Jesus, it don't matter how much he perceives and discerns, he's a loser. Well, here's where it is. I know this is grating on y'all a little bit, venting you up, but it's good for you. We need to be stretched occasionally. It's healthy. Now, he asked him, where y'all been? Well, the older son is a little bit smarter than the younger one. The older guy kept his mouth shut. The younger guy said, we went to that gospel service over there. We got born again. We got healed. When he did that, Papa went ballistic. He said, choices are simple. You're out of here. I'm throwing you out. No inheritance. I mean, he disowned him on the spot. Well, the young guy, he just didn't know how to take no. He hadn't been born again but a few hours. But yet he had love in his heart for his daddy. He understands that he's disowned and all. That's fine with him. But he wants his daddy born again. That's more than I can say for some Christians that's been born again for 20 years. Jesus. So anyway, this big fight. Oh, Lord. She got healthy. I mean, it went on for several weeks. I mean, it got really radical. I mean, we were persecuted. Our churches went under spiritual attack, physical attack. I mean, we were getting battered because these two boys got born again. But you see, you got to be willing to face the enemy if you're going to go out and do God's work. It is not a plaything. This is not some bless me club. This is not us four and no more. This ain't greasy, gray, sloppy agape we're dealing with. We're dealing with war here. Holy Ghost. And we're dealing with a mean man with power. Now, those kind of guys are hard to deal with. You admit it. Yeah. I'm constantly going and getting lawyers and bailing people out of jail, constantly bandaging up wounds from people that are beat and stoned, constantly going and praying for people that are sick because these demon spirits are rampant. They've been loosed against us. Ah, yeah, I admit it. How about that? But I admit to you something else. I am not a loser. I'm a winner. Fire on this earth from the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Jesus. Grant us insight. Grant us power. Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus took place, in verse 18, under these circumstances. Mary, his mother, had been promised in marriage to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Uh-oh. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you got a young virgin girl. Promised. She turns up pregnant. She looks at everybody and said, God did it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, God did it. We believe you. Kill her. Well, Joseph has a problem. Now look, I'm asking you to expand your ability in the Holy Ghost. You're having trouble, some of y'all, with some of this stuff I'm telling you. You got to understand that when God makes you pregnant, He didn't ask you before He impregnated me. He didn't ask me before He impregnated you for your opinion. God has an agenda, and it's to destroy the works of the devil. And He's going to do it. We were singing about the sovereignty of God. It is a phenomenal thing that you better get used to. That you got to understand, you don't see the whole picture. You see through a glass darkly. One of these days, it'll be clear as a bell, though. We'll all see just how wrong we are. I'm telling you to be open to the Holy Ghost. Last night, I happen to tell you I went through a battle for you. Demons came and visited me. Murder is prevalent in this area. Witchcraft, sodomy. And I'll tell you right now, I bind their authority. Jesus. Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to get used to the Holy Ghost doing things His way. He impregnates people. He changes the rules on you. And I'll tell you, you got one thing you can do about it. It's fine with me, Holy Ghost. Either that or turn religious and stay stagnant where you was a while ago whenever He was there doing it. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Joseph is a good man. He don't want to cause trouble. He really loves that girl. But look what he's got. He's got no alternative here. Don't you understand the Holy Ghost pinned him down? Look at it from his viewpoint. He is in a mess. The law, God's law, is very specific in what he's supposed to do. Isn't that true? Yes, it is. But he's sitting there. He knows her. He loves her. He cherishes her. He knows the family ain't going to let nothing. And she's coming up saying, God touched her. That an angel came. The Spirit of God overcame me. And I ended up pregnant. She says, I'm still a virgin, but I'm carrying a baby. Ooh, you're asking a lot, Mary. So am I asking a lot out of you. So will God ask a lot out of you every time He's ready to move on. You've got to be willing to trust the Holy Ghost. That's not an easy thing for you to do. Because you don't even trust your neighbor. Isn't that something? You live secluded and isolated. I think it's called fear. Jesus. But Jesus is ready to do something. He's impregnated you. He didn't ask my permission. He did it because it's His sovereignty. He did it because it's what He wants to do. I want you to listen to what God did to us. He did something to our work with this old man that was so mean that just, it revolutionized us. It brought us to realization, because me and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers and all the elders and directors, we all sat down and we had to talk about this. Because I didn't approve of what God did. How can you not approve of what God does? Well, you get things in your mind that it's a certain way. And you talk to other elders and other counselors and other directors, and you get into agreement. Excuse me. And what you do, I'm telling you, it's hard for God to move you. Why didn't God go to the Sanhedrin court and say, hello, fellas, I'm fixing to touch Mary? They wouldn't have let Him move. When Jesus come out doing the things that He was prophesied He was going to do, what'd they do to Him? They killed Him. Same thing religion will do to you. Let it go. Let it go to the sovereignty of God. It's not that hard. I've been through it a few times. We're due another one, actually, to tell you the truth. Because we got so much figured out about the Shekinah glory, I'm sure we're wrong. So I'm sure He's fixing to come manifest Himself some way that does not go along with what we're doing. And we're going to have to change the whole system again. Boy, you don't give yourself much credit. I absolutely do. I'm out there hustling, buddy. I'm going. I'm the one sweating, climbing and doing and going and putting 5,000 miles a month on my truck, going to villages and hiking and riding motorcycles and horses and walking. And I know who's out there. Okay? And right alongside me, God, who is flowing. He's not sweating. He's not in distress about nothing. Jesus. But that old warlock I'm not kidding you. He stirred up and got really serious with us. He unleashed his whole battalion on us. So we unleashed ours on him. And it looked like we was losing. And then the report came that this... Now you watch. We have this massive gospel machine. I had to put the whole machine to bear on one individual. Now you tell me he's not powerful when you do that. You tell me he's not commanding a couple of principalities. I'm telling you this guy was serious. But then the report came. This Indian who cannot read nor write, but who does go somewhere every year more than you do, puts himself in a cave, they seal it, and he sits there with no water, no food, no nothing, until the devil comes and manifests to him, and they talk about plans to destroy. How about that? Jesus, Yahoo. You wonder why you're not winning. You can't fast one meal, falling on the floor like you're going to die. Jesus. You can't pray 1 hour. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh. Every 5 seconds looking at your clock. And yet you expect what you're doing to beat these people who are serious and been at it for millenniums and never been contested. Now, I'll tell you right now, we're serious. You can tell we are. You can tell it. Oh, baby, we're serious. I will not bow. Do you understand that? I am not bowing. Holy Ghost. I'll take what I have to take. Psalms 44, verse 22. Romans 8, 35, 36, and 37. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter all day long. Whatever it has to be, that's fine with me. But I won't bow to the devil's side. In Jesus' holy name. Well, that old man got sick. Guess what hit him? The two diseases that was on his boys. Both of the diseases blasted him. He started going down, fighting, cursing, hating his youngest son the whole time, even though his daddy's cursing him, standing there. No. Gospel. Yes. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Standing ground, buddy. I'll tell you, he looked like some 30-year veteran to me. I mean, he had the mentality of a warrior. He had no loss in him. I will win. And his daddy's looking. He cursed me. He cursed God. He cursed everybody. His last breath, he looked at his son. I hate you. I hate your God. I hate. He fell dead. Well now, my opinion. God-hating warlock brought destruction and havoc on God's people, destroying for the last 35 years people's lives. If anybody needs to be eat up by demon hosts, it's him. In my opinion, he's the bottom of the barrel and he deserves every ounce of what he's going to get. So be it. Oh, man, you can't talk. Don't tell me how I can talk. I live in the fray 24 hours a day and ain't going back out of it. I've been down there 25 years. I got no mentality to back out. I still have killed the demon in me. And I will. We will destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Jesus. That young son didn't have the same mentality I did. He grabbed his daddy in death at 9 o'clock at night. Jesus' name, you come back here. This guy ain't even been born again but a month. 1 month. See, now this ain't got nothing to do with you, okay? We don't believe that you have to do 4 years to be able to raise the dead. We believe that you have to receive the blood of Jesus on your life. And from the very day you're born again, we teach you The power of the blood is ultimate power that has been applied to your life. Everything about you is finished as far as demons are concerned. You have a new life, and you will win it. Yeah. We believe in the ultimate power of the blood of Jesus' covenant. We don't believe there's no contesting it under any circumstances. Punto final. So, this young guy has been taught in his short-lived month, every service he's been at, you can raise the dead. You will win this victory. You will not lose. You will win. Jesus. Holy Ghost. When is enough enough? When you get enough. I get asked that so many times. Do you understand verse 19 that he could have been put away privately and this guy could have been destroyed and put in the ground and we'd have been rid of him. But no. This young man said no. You'll not have him, demon. How can he even think? Well, the problem is, he don't know anything. He only knows the love of Jesus. He knows nothing. He's oblivious to any other kind of doctrine or theology. He don't know anything. He only knows a few scriptures. So he don't know. I didn't tell him. Good riddance to your daddy. And it's not that I don't care about the man's soul. This man he tormented us. He hurt the house of God. As far as I'm concerned, he was a Philistine king. He needed to be slaughtered. That's just the way it was. And he was slaughtered, we won, and shot that animal. But that son, he just didn't know any better. He wasn't like us. We know better. We would have let him go to hell. It's not a joke. There's many people you're allowing to go to hell because of your knowledge. But God's sovereignty, grace, mercy, and love is beyond your capacity. Listen, I have an idea. I am now clued into it, but I don't understand it. Because I can read him straight into hell out of here. But you gotta understand that along with that covenant we got with Jesus, mercy. It's powerful. And grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I just couldn't believe it. And that young man sat right there for 6 hours commanding his daddy to come back. And at 3 o'clock at night, in the morning, early morning, the old man gets up. Well, that changed our whole life. Jesus. Listen to this. Joseph, being a just man, upright, not willing to expose her publicly to shame, disgrace, decided to repudiate, dismiss, divorce her, and quietly and secretly. See, there's so many times you do that when God's not finished. Do you understand heaven loves you? But these people who hate you, he loves them too. And we sometimes have a hard time with that. You got to get over it. Just let it go, man. Let it go. Let power come. Jesus, I've come to cast fire and I wish it was already kindled. Come on, Holy Ghost. Shiarianakane. I was so impressed with heaven over this that I went immediately out there when I found out what happened. I just couldn't believe it. I'm not kidding you. I had me this whole doctrine of dead raising, finally put it on paper, and I'm wrong. So we don't do that anymore. I get asked by, you wouldn't believe the people who ask me for our theological beliefs, our doctrinal beliefs. You have to get them out of here. And they're subject to the writer. I'll tell you that right now. They're subject to the writer. And so I went over there. I'm sitting, I'm looking at this guy right now. I am mad at this guy. I'm serious. I ought to be happy and blessed, but instead I feel anger. I feel honest. And I ask him, what are you doing? But he's not the same guy that I've encountered in times past. I can see that he's a different fellow. I can see that his countenance has been removed. And humility and love and grace and mercy have been applied to his life. And I just can't understand that. I said, all right. What happened? He said, well, Brother David, now, to get this done, we got to go to Revelations. But we're going to come back here and read this Matthew, and then we're going to take our time for dinner break. Revelation chapter 1. Now, you understand that this is an individual who cannot read or write. Do you understand that? Do you understand he's also an individual that has never graced the doors of a church anywhere at any time? He has stood out and cursed and rebuked our powers many times. But he has never heard the Word of God preached in his life. Y'all understand that? All right. It's good. You're going to need it. Because here we are. I'm looking at him right in the face, and I said to him, all right. What happened? He started weeping. I mean, just sobbing. He says, well, I died, Brother David, cursing God. I said, all right, I know that. All right, I'm up there. That's what's got me so aggressive. Hello. I want to know, from where we didn't see you till you came back, there was a six-hour period there. Who'd you run into out there? Did you see anything? What was it like? And I usually don't talk a whole lot about these situations because y'all key more on that than the actual power that it takes to get them up. And so I don't talk a whole lot about it, but this one is so intriguing to me. It's amazing. He said, I left my body, I was dead, and then all of a sudden I was held suspended. That was his son's doing. That was faith. Held him. Okay? Said I was horizontal. And I saw the sun and the moon. But then, See, lights. This light came brighter than the sun at noon strength. I says, okay. What else do you see? He said, I turned. And there standing to me was a man looking at me. How big was this fella? He was big. You have a description of him? He said, yes, Brother David, I do. He said, I've never seen a human being like him in my life. I said, okay. It's fine. So far, I'm with you. And he said, he had on a robe down to his feet. I said, oh, yeah? What kind of robe? He said, it was glowing. Uh-oh. I said, all right. Now, let me just describe this to you. This is how he described it to me in verse 13, Revelations 1. In the middle of the lamp stands one like a son of man, clothed with a robe. These are the exact words of that old Indian. He was covered with a robe, Brother David, down to his feet. I said, oh, my God. Okay. Come on. He says, he had this golden cinturón belt around his waist. I said, oh. Did he have any hair? He said he had long white hair. I said, really? Was there anything special about it? He said, yeah. It was glowing, brighter than the sun. I said, you're doing real good. Is there anything else about this fellow that was unusual? He said, yes, sir. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow. And he said, his eyes, Brother David, looked like, this is his description, looked like my wife's oven. They have these, they make them out of rocks and, y'all call it adobe, clay and stone. It's a big oven they put their bread in. And when it's fired up, it's an awesome sight to look down that hole and see that thing. He said that man he saw, his eyes, looked like his wife's furnace. I said, wow, this is all right. We can live with this. What else about him? Well, his feet, it looked like a machete when you stick it in the fire and it turns brazen red. I said, his feet was light color. Yep. Wow. What else did he say? Did he say anything at all? What did he look like? He said, yeah. He said something to me. He said, Brother David, he speaks Aztec. And that's what he and I were speaking, so I said, that's good. I can speak it. That's good. I speak the language Jesus speaks. This is real good. Jesus. I said, what did he tell you? He said, Brother David, when he spoke, he said it was like the river when it was Tlatemeweyatle. Tlatemeweyatle means when it's overflooded its banks and it's dragging all the rocks, it's just thundering with power. That's the only thing he could relate it to. He thundered out of his mouth. Nimitzneki! I said, no way. I said, it ain't possible. I said, I know the Bible. That can't be true. He said, that's all he told me. And when he told me Nimitzneki, I was brought back to life. I said, that's impossible. That's impossible. That's just was overwhelmed like you see me now. I'm just overwhelmed by it. I have a hard time with that. Jesus' love is so powerful. Knee meets necky means I love you. I couldn't believe it. A God-hating warlock from hell spent his whole life eating raw blood and flesh of humans with demons. As Jesus walks up to him in manifested form of his glory and told him, I love you. Instantly, he was brought back to life. I find that amazing. I find that simply overwhelming. We have it all figured out. We are wrong. His power, his ability far surpasses anything we know. The power of forgiveness, the love of Jesus, is the strongest force I've ever seen. It's amazing. His power is phenomenal. His glory is wondrous. The son didn't even know how to lead his daddy to Jesus, which he didn't have to. I know that because he was forgiven. So they had to send a runner to get a pastor. They did. Hour and a half through the woods, 2 hours back. He was there about 6:30 in the morning. He was there praying with this old man to get born again. Our enemy had been with Jesus. You've never been around a human like him in your life. I like to go now and just sit and just look at him. Nobody says nothing. Me and this old guy just sit and look at each other. He's just an amazing fellow. His whole family is born again. You may be pregnant and others not agree with your pregnancy. You may be touched by the Holy Ghost and others not agree with it. Let them alone. They'll pass. But what you got won't. It's eternal. They may be wanting to divorce you, repudiate you. They may be wanting to disgrace you. And they do occasionally. It don't feel good to your emotions. Let it go, man. The power of love. There's no match in it. No match in it. No match in it. No match in it. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Because God's going to send intervention on your behalf. See, everybody in this room wants to be impregnated with the Holy Ghost. But ain't nobody wants to be shamed because of it. But if you're going to get verse 18, you're going to live in verse 19. To live in verse 20, you got to go through 19. The doubt, the wonder, the confusion it brings, all the impregnation of God. Because it's not like us. It's supernatural powers. And we don't understand it like we used to. My Indians, people tell me, how do you get those ignorant people to get so many miracles? Well, I'm looking at ignorance. You do not know the spirit world. All of them do. They are not ignorant. They can't turn your computer on and send email. They can only raise the dead. I am not angry with you. But you're going to have to broaden your mentality to accept things differently so that the Spirit of God can run through you. He's not against your email. He's just against your email running you. He don't mind how much technology you have. He gave it to you, for heaven's sakes. He don't care if you have four or five of them Lincolns sitting under your garage. Listen, God don't care. As long as you ain't sitting under there idolizing those things, He don't care. That's not the problem here. The problem is spiritual awareness of the Holy Ghost and what He's wanting to do. Jesus. Look. Don't be afraid, son of David. That's hard to do sometimes. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get into verse 21. To do that, you got to get impregnated, abused. God's got to intervene for you. And then you get verse 21. She shall bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. The Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. He will save his people from their sins. Now, the Amplified opens it up a little bit broader. Watch this. That is, prevent them from failing. How about that? That's pretty powerful if you ask me. Prevent them from failing. Prevent them from missing the true end and the scope of life, which is God Himself. Wow. Those are some very powerful statements I just made. It is the will of God for you to understand that. I'm going to put this up so I won't keep looking at notes and stuff. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. See, here we was, getting our teeth kicked in by the devil. What was his name? What was his source? What does it matter? My victory is in the cross. Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something. God knows how sovereignly to turn things around to your side. We got to know how to submit to the sovereignty of heaven and walk impregnated by the Holy Ghost. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. 1 hour and 14 minutes. That's a long time for y'all. I put my Bible up now. I'm going to tell you this story and we're going to pray. Is that okay? Can I do that? Is that be all right still? Because this is a valuable story. It has to do with being a Christian. Loving your enemies. Blessing them that curse you. Do good to those that spitefully use you. In other words, obeying the Bible. Hello. Romans 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. One of our sharpest enemies to date. This guy was led by many demons. He was a great communistic leader. opposed radically to the gospel. He was Antichrist. I personally was beaten, stoned by this man's bands, drug out and thrown in riverbeds to be left for dead. But God,
woo!
God won't let you die sometimes when you're supposed to. And so, many of my pastors were beat. I came to service many times. Instead of having an awesome blowout service, spend the whole time bandaging wounds and weeping with my brothers. Tears you know nothing about. Because we're not doing wrong. We're telling people about the love of Jesus. We're not radical sympathizers, anti-government. We are pro-Jesus. Midnight. There's a bang on my leader in this area. Brother Claudio, he is an awesome man. I love him. I can honestly say he's a friend of mine. Well, don't have many friends, but Claudio is. I can't wait to go home and see him. I love him. Skinny, little short Indian skinny. Bang, bang, bang. It's well after, right around a few minutes after midnight. He opens the door. Ha! There's the devil standing there. There's the man that hates us so much. He looked at Claudio and he says, "Por favor, hermano, te necesitamos. Necesitamos su Dios y su ayuda. We need you. We need your God and we need your help." Well, they told us that before and were taking us out to kill us. Claudio said, "I'm not leaving my house. You'll have to come inside and burn me out because I'm not coming out." He said, "I promise you this is not a trap. I need your God." Claudio's studying him, trying to discern, but I'll tell you, a while ago we sang a song. In the middle of the confusion, you have to trust the sovereignty. You just don't know what's right. I understand y'all know everything. I got that figured out. But I just don't see the power of it, so. Jesus. Come on, great Holy Ghost. Claudio looked at him and said, "I'll go. It's fine." Went in the house, put his trousers on, put his shoes on. Went and got a couple of elders. Went with him. That is a very honorable and difficult thing to do. I've been there many times. Every time, you have to make the decision. Every time, you have to decide. You look at your wife. You say, "I love you. Bye." That's not easy. But people need you, see. And if it is a trap of the demon, the only thing you can do is depend on God's trust. Confidence in heaven to get you out of it. That's all you can do. But you see, whenever you're there, you are there for your enemies as well as your friends. Our work is so large now, there's thousands of Christians. And it'd be easy to just stay with them, you see. But that's not who I'm called to. I'm called to people that don't know Jesus. I'm compelled to the highways and the byways on behalf of the King. Woo! And I'm glad He lets me go. But it's true, one day I won't come back. That's going to happen because I got to be with my Indians, you see. But that day's not here yet. And until it gets here, I will defy the armies of hell. I know that kind of aggression really scares some people, but I think you need to be scared a little bit. There are shock troops in the house of God, and I'm one of them. I have no value on the enemy, just on the kingdom of God. Come on, Holy Ghost. Brother Claudio walks through the night. He gets up to the hut. He knows it to be the man's house. There's an odor. I don't know if you've ever been fortunate to smell rotten human flesh, but it has its own twinge, its own aroma. And we're well used to it, all of us. Don't ever smell good, but you know what it is. Turns out it was his wife. It was the wife of the leader, the Antichrist leader. She had given birth to a child, but during the process, her uterus wall had burst inside. You're not used to that. You don't hear a whole lot about that because they keep all that stuff away from y'all. Every kind of odd thing, they don't tell y'all about it for some reason up here. But doctors and nurses have told me that you got approximately somewhere around 5 hours if you got the right facilities. And you can help the situation, but you got to be there now. Well, we don't live in the now. 911. They don't get there quick enough. You sue them. Stupid people. Come live in the woods a while. It'll change your whole mentality. Appreciation for freedom and the goodness of God on this land, which is taken for granted by most people. Jesus. Because your freedom was bought by somebody else's blood, which includes Jesus's. Jesus. Shatane. Holy Ghost. That ain't got emotion on you. Man, I can feel power. I'm not kidding you. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody in here is going to be blessed. I'm telling you. And so we, Brother Claudio talks to him. What happened was they had waited too long, and so gangrene, you know. Y'all know, y'all ever heard of gangrene? And, jungles, humidity, gangrene, heat. Whew, bad scene. It come all out of her, and rotten flesh was all down her legs and around her loins. And but Claudio says to him, I'm not going to pray for her unless the whole bunch of you get born again. You have harassed us. You have beat us. You have stoned us. You have cursed us. And you will end up killing us. Because we are going to die. We are not bowing to your God. But you will bow to ours tonight, or I will let her die. But if you bow, my God will heal your wife. It really incited this guy. He's a incitable guy. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. But he in his senses, his love for his wife. There's ways to get to you. And the Holy Ghost knows them. You will bow to the Holy Ghost. That man bowed his knee. Claudio is covered with scars, just like I am. From this guy. Woo! And he reaches his hands on top of him. Forgive him, Holy Ghost. That's power like you don't even understand. We're just barely in there. It's tremendous. Holy Ghost power. Jesus. That whole band of raiders got born again right there. Jesus. Well, brother, they probably didn't understand. You're completely right. They had no idea what they were doing. That is completely irrelevant to the love and power of heaven. You're the only people on the planet that think you have to sort it all out and intellectually grab it before you do something with it. Everybody else has to take it spiritually. So they can get healed and blessed and filled with the powers of heaven. Jesus. I'm after you, aren't I? But I got some things sorted out, too. And I'm very bold about it when I'm right. Jesus. Brother Claudio prayed for all them people. Him and them elders got there and touched that woman was stench. She was death. Jesus' name they prayed for. Nothing happened. He stayed there and talked to them about the gospel for a while, walked back home, sent a runner to my house with a note, come right now. So-and-so got born again. My mentality was they had bought him and he had compromised and it was a trap to get me out there. One of my most trusted leaders. I ain't going out there just so you can kill me. But the Holy Ghost smote my heart. What, you can't trust me? Yes, sir, I'm getting my boots. So I got my boots, got my four-wheel drive, fired that thing up, and away I went. Got out there, and I look, I'm watching him. As soon as I drive up, I get out of my truck, I'm watching him. Like a caged tiger. Just daring him to crack the door. I'll be on him like, white on rice, buddy. I said, tell me the truth, boy. I said, you've been with me long enough to know that the Holy Ghost don't allow this. Don't you lie to me, because you'll die. He said, I lie not. Let's go. I said, okay, bro. Away we went, and he was telling the truth. But every step out there, I'm telling you, I was like a caged cat. Everything about me was cold. Every Holy Ghost flexed muscle was ready. I mean, son, heaven was on red alert. And the whole time, God's up there just laughing. But my legions were ready. Yeah! All this war talk really bothers some of y'all. I can't help it. That's how I live. Completely. Never letting my guard down. Never. It's always, ask my wife, it's always intense. There's never a moment without intensity. It's on purpose. Because God built me, conditioned me to fight the enemy. To win. And you don't do it by being slouchy. I walked in and I just could not believe my eyes. Y'all, the power of love is way beyond your capacity. Mine too. That's just, I'm looking at this guy, I'm watching him. He comes over, he grabs Brother Claudio and them two start hugging and crying and weeping. This guy has beat me, man. This guy hates me. He comes over, grabs my hand, falls on the ground, weeping and slobbering. Please forgive me, Brother David. I said, would you make that statement one more time, please? He said, can you forgive me? I said, possibly. Jesus did. I reckon I probably can. I said, I want to pray for your wife, son. She's right in here, Brother David. I went in there, my Lord. It was rough. Because when people are that severe, they're left uncovered. Somebody's there just fanning the flies. And it's horrible to see the damage sin inflicts on people. And so we prayed and asked God for mercy and grace. And God, these are your children now. We ask you to intervene on their behalf. Spare her life in Jesus' name. Well, the Holy Ghost did. About 2 weeks later, I was out at another service out there. The whole band came. The whole group of them ex-guerrillas came. They all went out in the woods and dug a big hole, put all their weapons, all their stuff, threw it in the ground where it's Yah, no good anymore. Isn't that nice? And then she walks in. She walked into church. I was just astounded at her. Completely healed by the blood of Jesus. And watch this. As time went by, she had a son. That's not possible except for Jesus. Come on, Holy Ghost. Stand up. Y'all stand up, please. Jesus, we thank you so much for your ability, your intervention, your love. Miss Kathy, would you come up here and play us a tune? Please. Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, I want to tell you that I am blessed to be here and talk to you about God and His power and His ability. And I want you to know that God didn't create you to fail. He didn't create you to miss the mark. He did not. Do you understand that? You have been created to take the prize of the high calling of God. You have been created to walk in the victory of heaven. I apologize. There's waves of power running over me. It's pretty powerful. You know, they tied me to a post one time. We just had to see how many times God would hit us. I made it through 5 waves. And then I was passed out there on the log, on the post. He's amazing. I'm going to call you to something. We're going to a new level in our work. I have no idea what that means, what I just said to you. I'm as ignorant as anybody is about it. I don't know what that means. Because where we are right now, few people have ever ventured to go. But heaven has got us on a series fast right now. Started back in May and it's running through to November. I can feel God bringing us with Him some way. I don't know where it's going to stop. I have no idea what's going to happen. But I want to invite you as a human individual to see the need to join in the search and quest for power. To join in the need for the Master's hand. Jesus wants to touch you. He wants to take you to pinnacles and places you've never been. That other people haven't either. This we've all dreamed about. But He'll do it for you. He will. Yesterday I was sitting on top of that mountain. I was praying for the service today. I was tired from the hike. Man, I'm nearly 50 now. It gets harder to get up them hills, you know. And I was up there and I just couldn't believe God let me climb another mountain. So I could look out over the vast expanse of His creation. Call down the fire of God. Call in the souls and the healing. Call in the deliverance in the name of Jesus. I'm going to have to invite you to the throne of heaven. God's wanting to take you. Something we've noticed about Him. All these things He's brought us to and these levels He's taken us to, we don't lose them when we advance. They go with us. They go with us. The arsenal of God that He's put around us is quite powerful. Actually, watch this. Here we go. This is going to bring it on. We cannot be defeated because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus. Why do you keep saying that stuff? Why do you keep addressing it? Because it draws out the enemy. I don't enjoy the engagement much anymore. I don't. So go. But I do enjoy the victory. You don't win if you don't fight. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We have been placed far above principalities and powers. Jesus. Great Holy Ghost, come in this house now. Sit on us, Holy Ghost. With fire. In what I'm talking about, I want you to get in a line all the way around this church, not just in the front, all the way around. Get in line. You got to side by side. You need to back up some so I can come through there. You got to side by side. You need to back up some so I can come through there. You got to side by side. You need to back up some so I can come through there. You got to side by side. You need to back up some so I can come through there. You got to side by side. You need to back up some so I can come through there. You got to side by side. You need to back up some so I can come through there.